This is Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean. And we're asking, are you a classy cabbie or a dirty old dog? If you think you're a classy cabbie, maybe you have a story to tell and you don't mind us digging out your past, then get in touch by emailing us at newcabclass@gmail.com. Gotta love it. That's Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean.
Hello everyone and welcome to Cab Class, the show where we interview your favourite London taxi drivers. We find out a bit about their person and also if they're a classy cabbie or a dirty dog. Hello everyone, thanks so much for listening. It's the final ep of season one. With massive thank you to everyone that's listened, everyone who's retweeted, everyone who's sent us good messages to say well done, we're really enjoying the show. Just remember that you can say we was there when they were shit. We really appreciate it. Now, honest to God, now, please subscribe to the London Taxi Radio YouTube channel so you can get everything we do sent to you so you ain't got a faff about looking for it. Right, let's get on with it. My name's Gary, I'm one of your hosts. My mate's here with me, Chelsea Mark, how are you, mate?
Hello, mate. How are you? You alright?
Not the best intro I've ever done, but...
No, I've considered it's your eighth one.
No, I know. Yeah. You know what it is? I'm getting too relaxed now. I think I've nailed this. And then I'm doing,
what it is, you're reading all the feedback, you think you've cracked it.
We missed a week.
Maybe that beard's getting in the way. What is going on there? Oh, I wish this was live.
I haven't touched it for 3 months.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you had, because of the social distancing, it looks like a big mohair mask. What is it?
I don't know. I just want to see where I can take it, really. I'm going to have a sort of Uncle Albert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like a young Brian Blessed.
Yeah.
But you could be in that. You know that swampy son was just found underneath Euston Station trying to stop the older rail.
Oh,
there.
They've been chucked off now.
Yeah, well, you could join them.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have to drive past there a bit sharp, it's just in case I think I'm one of the chaps. In case I think I'm one of the firm.
How must Swampy feel that his son has gone into his footsteps and he just spent 3 weeks under Euston Station at the age of 16?
I know, isn't it?
What are you doing at 16? I know, you weren't doing that, that's for sure. But even where you couldn't grow hair, you are now growing hair. What is that, an implant? I'm not letting this go. No, what is it?
I'm just growing it. I'm just going to see where it goes.
No, because right. Remember the first show with Nikki? Remember the first show and you looked like alopecia when it all over it? Now you've gone...
Well, what's happened? It's grown so long, it's grown over the patches.
I think what's happened, you took it quite personal and you thought, right, I'll get 8 shows out of this and I'll have a full beard by the way.
Remember Andy? What? Yeah, I've got his picture up indoors now. And I look at him and I think, I want that beard.
Was there a dapper cabber driver in that? He's unreal, wasn't he?
He was fantastic, Andy.
He even smelt lovely, didn't he?
He was just, I don't know. Must be that police background, I reckon.
I think so. We've had some good shows, we've met some great guests, and we've got one today. So this is the end of season one, yeah?
This will be the end of season one. Right, so how it's going to work, we're going to probably go away for a couple of weeks, sit down, have a chat. It's getting a little bit tough with everything that's going on at the minute with the pandemic, so we're sort of trying to organise things around that. But it's definitely something we're going to carry on with. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, yeah.
I know the other fella's enjoying it, yeah. Who we're going to talk to in a minute.
He's
our
payman.
We're definitely going to crack on with this. We're loving it, and we know we've got people who really enjoy it, so we're going to keep cracking on with it. And, yeah.
I mean, I like Gary's beard, because he looks like a wizard.
He does look like, he does, yeah. Very Harry Potterish, isn't it, yeah.
I'm going to put a picture up with it, I reckon.
If we were allowed to touch, I'd touch it.
If you was allowed to touch
it. We're not allowed to, are we? It's social distancing. Yeah, but it needs a cuddle, doesn't it?
I'm a bit worried if there's like a wasp nest in there.
There'll be a few mice in there or stuff.
I don't know what he's doing.
Anyway, you can hear his voice. Hello, Sean.
Yeah.
Day.
Hello. I'm going to miss these because I think they've closed Chariots down in Vauxhall, yeah. So this is the only male bonding I seem to get.
That will be back.
It'll be back. There'll be a need for it.
Oh, there'll be a queue to Albert Bridge.
So these have been good, but it's flown by, hasn't it? So
yes.
It's been good, and as long as we're all excited about it, then we'll carry on doing it.
Don't forget, we've got about 19,476 drivers still to interview.
Loads.
So, you know, maybe one or two will say no, but the rest will be okay.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Problem is, we've had to turn down a lot because they're all dirty dogs.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
What is the one thing we've not had yet?
Well, we might have one today.
I'm pretty sure we're going to have one today, if I'm honest. Oh, you shake your head.
Buckle up, make yourself a nice cup of Rosie Lee and listen to Cab Class with Gary, Mark and Sean. The podcast just for cabbies.
Right, let's meet him. He's been a green badge holder for 21 years and he's also a cabbie tour guide for the worshipful company of Hackney Carriage Drivers. I'd like everyone to say hello and put your hands together for Jerry. All right,
Jerry.
Good afternoon, everybody.
How the devil are
you, mate? I'm all good. Just finished a hard day at work. Yeah.
Not in the cab.
No. It must be a hard day in the cab. Never.
What were you doing with Graft at the minute?
I'm a delivery driver for a healthy food company. Delivering.
Fast or healthy? Which one?
More healthy.
Yeah?
Yeah, more healthy. Delivering to places all over London and the South East. And as far north as Barnsley.
And how are you enjoying that, mate? Are you missing the cab?
I am missing the cab, you know, being, you know, your own freedom, but at the same time, there's no stress with this job.
Well, there ain't a 5-hour wait like there is down at the airport.
More like 24 at the moment.
Yeah. I was speaking to my pal, he's going to work on a building site, and I said to him, like, how are you adapting back to your old life? Do you know what I mean? Do you just have a bad day and just go home? Right? Or do you just stand around and talk for an hour? Can you switch the life?
Yeah, don't you worry about that. I've had my bad day. Yesterday was a bad day. I won't bore you with the details, but it was just right pain in the you know what.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with a cab. You can just go up.
Exactly.
All right, mate. So, Joe, tell us a bit about yourself, mate. Where you're from, and a bit about your free cab life, please.
My name is Jerry. Obviously, I grew up in Edgware, Middlesex.
Not Bethnal Green, to the first non-Bethnal Green.
Well, I know I was getting dug out of here, so I've reached out.
I just assumed he was Bethnal Green.
Yeah, I've reached out landed one from Northwest.
I would say Green Badge Valley 2. Obviously, you know, this part of the world, the Northeast, is
the Green Badge Belt.
The Green Badge Belt, and close up on its heels is Edgware.
Yeah.
In that part of the world. Right. I went to school in the JFS school in Camden. Back in the 80s, left there, became a chef, and then my stepdad told me to basically do the knowledge because I've got a good photographic memory.
Hang on a second, you don't just become a chef, do you?
Well,
I think you do just become a rubbish chef.
Well,
you're doing you McDonald's.
watching you. No, I don't know, I can't remember why, but I just sort of remember going into the kitchen, my mum and dad's place, and destroying the kitchen, trying to make donuts. Told to get out the kitchen after literally completely, you know, covered the floor in flour, oil here, there, and everywhere.
What, are we talking their home or their
cafe? No. In the home.
Well, actually, you arrived today with donuts. They're not the same.
I know.
Healthy food you deliver?
Yeah, this is the unhealthy food. No, those donuts came from the one and only legendary place, Brick Lane. One nearest to Bethnal Green Road. It's right, the only one to go to. I had, part of my delivery was just round the corner. It was breakfast time. It was a fait accompli. It had to be done. Right. It had to be done.
So even though he ain't from Bethnal, the food...
He still passed through. It's like the mecca of cab drivers.
You just had to have it. So although you're not from Bethnal, can you just come that way? So you just know you've got that.
That place, I love it.
What, the Bible shop?
Not, well, it's like almost like a synagogue in there, but no, it's just...
I was down the Bible shop yesterday, actually. I just felt like it. I just thought, I've got to go down
It's an institution.
It's one of them places.
It's an institution. It should have a World Heritage List...
It's one of them places, no matter where you live, if you're going into London, and people say, oh, are you going Bethnal Greenway? They go, not really. They go, well, if you do, would you mind going to the bagel shop and picking up a few?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've had...
Is it a bagel or a bagel?
That's a bagel, isn't it?
He's Jewish. It's bagel.
Let's think. I mean, my stepdad calls it a bagel. My mum calls it a bagel. I've called it a bagel.
Okay.
It's a bagel.
It's an American.
So you become so you left school to become a chef. So this is where we're at, yeah. And as you was a good chef.
I don't know. I trained for about a year with Brian Turner at his restaurant in Knightsbridge. And I managed to end up working in the pastry section for about a couple of months because the pastry chef had a breakdown. And then and ended up making dessert, well, plating desserts for the Sultan of Brunei and Duchess of York and Paul Hogan. Can't remember anyone else. And then I sort of got told to leave because he didn't want to pay me anymore. And
he just didn't want to pay. So are you sure? Yeah. Is this another way of saying you've got the tin tack?
Yeah.
Were you eating every other one? Was it one of them? One for him, one for me.
I've got a question. Was you just a chef, or did you use the sack? Was you a waiter as well?
Well, part of the course to become a chef at the time, I don't know what it's like now, was you had to do the waitering side of the course.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Go on.
Right, you've cleared the table, you've taken the place back. Have you ever eaten any food off of them plates?
Yes, that's a yes.
I can quite categorically state no.
Alright, so now we know Jerry's a liar. Right,
yeah.
That's very nice.
Well, that lovely grab, and you're telling me you ain't been to
it. I love it, you know, and you know where it's been made.
Okay.
You know it's
I wanted to say no. Okay.
Oh, I've got to this is top there. Stuff, isn't
no,
it?
No.
This ain't McDonald's, mate.
If the soul of Brunei has left a bit of fillet steak, that's got to go, isn't it? Surely.
Would he eat fillet steak? Beef?
I don't know.
No, not quite on that scale, but I remember once I was at college and my job was to then travel down to the restaurant and get the evening meal ready for the staff. And they told me there's fish and chips tonight. I've gone to the fridge, there's two lots of fish, identical. They didn't tell me which one to use, so I've just got taking the first lot. The batter, everything was done. All I had to do was just cook it.
What?
Get the fish, put it in the flour, in the batter, in a manky fryer. And everyone's sitting down for the evening meal and they're going, this is absolutely fantastic, Jerry. This is amazing. This Brian Turner comes screaming into the restaurant where we're all sitting down. Where's the John Dory for the tonight's menu? And they're looking at me. They said, you've used the John Dory. You should have been using the cod. John Dory is about, well, at the time, it was God knows how much. It's more expensive.
But that's the more expensive and they had, fish,
yeah. It's seriously one of the top fish you can get. And it's like all cut up. It's been marinated. And I'm like a 17-year-old.
Is this why you lost your job?
I think so, yeah.
I imagine that story in the Sheffield is really good.
And they've obviously had to pass off the cod as John Dory. I don't know whether they got away with it or what happened, but I think it was about a month later I got the sack.
Alright, okay. So we sit and see where your chef career ended.
I was at college then, so yeah.
But you saying that a family member then said you do the knowledge, is that you sort of angled that way?
Well, it was my stepdad, to be honest. My mum was seeing my stepdad at the time, it was like the mid-90s, and my mum decided to sell up, and obviously I had to move in with them into his flat in North London.
And was he a cab driver?
Yeah, he'd been a cab driver since the mid-80s.
Now, still, by the mid-90s, a lot of Jewish boys were pushed into being cab drivers, wasn't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to touch on that Jerry is one of the chosen people.
Yeah.
And you come for...
Can I ask a question?
In that... Now, I know we have to pander to the left. Everyone does who's in showbiz, right? So I'll tread very carefully around this. So...
You've got a very show-busy beard, I must say.
Thank you very much, mate. I'm going up to Noel Edmonds. Right, so lots of Jewish people are cab drivers, have done the knowledge. And become, is there a particular reason for that, or is it just...
No, well, we know, listen, anyone who's been a cab driver for long enough will know that it used to be a closed shop.
And there was money to be made.
I mean, to give you some idea, my late grandfather was a cab driver, and he got his... he started as a cab driver in 1937.
Wow.
Obviously World War II broke out, he got turned into a firefighter. As my stepdad likes to say, my biological father was a cab driver. He was the first American cab driver, I think, in London.
So yous are a bit like the Margolises.
Margolises of Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Except if you know your Margolises of Kingsbury, I cannot stand chopped and fried. Chopped and fried.
I don't mind it.
Is a sort of a term for what Jewish people call gefilte fish, which is like minced fish with like eggs and onions.
You wouldn't like that. You only have the good fish.
Yeah. You only have the John Doyle, mate.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have standards. That's why my stepdad calls me Rothschild. But no, I cannot stand it. My mum to this day still offers me it.
So you've come from a long line of cab drivers.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got sacked from your chef job, you've gone home, your stepdad's gone, look, boy, join the rest of us, do the knowledge.
Wouldn't say that. He was great at sort of antagonising me a bit.
Go on.
Because he would go out to work at, I don't know, middle of the night, like what I sort of do. And we'd sort of get home at the same time, about 4 o'clock most days. And he would look at me and go to me, whilst getting his wad of money out, and go, how much do you earn today before tax? Counting the money, looking at me and going, you know.
Oh, darn.
And was he doing this to cheer you up or just because he was an arsehole?
No. That's one thing you cannot... hand on my heart, you cannot
He's
call
a
him...
Man.
No. No, because he knew I had a good photographic memory.
He was just trying to push you up.
You just can't remember fish.
Yeah.
Well, I can remember fish. It was just like looking at fish. But yeah, that's sort of got pushed in that direction a bit.
Right,
and
okay.
And
so how old was you now?
At the time, I was, what was it, 1996 I applied, so I would have been 25.
Okay.
So did you do the knowledge pretty quick with this photographic memory of yours? I can't remember.
Very funny.
My knowledge part, this is a true story, said to me, I've got a brilliant book on how to remember things. It's a book it's the nuts. And then he said, I'll bring it round. And I swear to you, it's a true story. He forgot. So next time he came around, I said, did you bring that book? He went,
No, but I've got to say, somebody also advised me to have a book, this book on how to remember things. You link things up. But I did try it, but I was trying to remember twice as much as what I've got to remember in the first place.
That's a play on words. This is a so you wanted to remember Ferdinand Street, you'd go... like Les Ferdinand, the footballer, or whatever. So that's how you'd work it, and that's how it's done. But but I bet you when he did this book, it weren't to help cab drivers learn 26,000 roads, was it?
Nah.
Remember by association.
Exactly. Little apples grow quickly.
Yeah, so I am keen to know, how did this photographic memory help you out?
I don't know. All I know is it was 2 years, 11 months, and 7 days.
That's pretty good.
That's very good.
Working in the city of London mainly as a chef, sort of more contract catering, so industrial stuff. So you'll start at 7, you'll be done by 3. I'd go to the knowledge school. And then sort of mid-February, about this time of year, 1998, I developed a large lump on my right testicle.
So this is when you was doing the knowledge?
This is when I was on the knowledge, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I had a scan, and on the 5th of March 1998 I got told I had testicular cancer.
Oh dear.
Yeah, which was
so
a bit.
You're still on the knowledge.
I was still on the knowledge.
I'll just say you noticed it and it was extremely large, but how does it get to be extremely large before you notice
well
it? We couldn't get on the bike.
this is what happened. I noticed it for a few days and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I remember me and a couple of friends went to see the Fast Show live at the Hammersmith Apollo. And we get on the Northern Line and I'm sitting there. And I've got a friend sitting over just to my left and a friend that's sitting next to me. And a couple of stations down the line, these two girls got on. And they're sitting there. And
a
couple of stops later, they got off at, I think it was like Camden Town. My mate goes to me, you've got to control yourself, mate. What do you mean? He goes, well, I just look down there and you've got a great big huge bulge in your trousers.
Really?
Yeah. There was no pain or anything. It just felt hollow. But I gnawed it for a few more days and then...
It'd be good if you could keep it. I don't know if they took away the cancer, but keep the bulge. Yeah.
Well, did they?
I went, had the operation... on the 6th of March, came up hospital on the 7th, and then a few weeks later had a CAT scan. They said it was it'd gone, but they wanted to treat me with radiotherapy as a, just as a precaution, you know, because I caught it so early.
Yeah.
There was no chemotherapy, no, you know, this is what they call stage one of cancer.
Okay.
Now, for instance, Lance Armstrong had stage four, which is basically you've got 50-50. Because I caught it so early.
But also where it is, you probably notice it.
Yeah,
quite
it's
early
noticeable.
On.
It was hot. Yeah. It's.
Well, it's people on the train looking at it.
Yeah. Well, they didn't notice it, but my friend. He's happily married now with kids.
Didn't one of the girls give you their number or anything like that?
Nah, I think they were just more interested in getting to the pub upstairs at Camden.
I want to know why you were wearing Lycra shorts to go and see the fast show.
I'm not going to comment on that. No.
So how quick between you getting it diagnosed to it being taken out was it?
Well, the thing is, we went to my local doctor surgery and couldn't see my local doctor, so saw a locum and he said, it's a hernia. But I can't sort of, I don't know what the term was, but he couldn't push it back in. So it was going to have to be operated on. And at the time, the NHS waiting list was 18 months.
Right.
And I said, okay, we are not going to wait 18 months. We're going to go and see someone privately for a second opinion. Because we were going to get it done privately, but we wanted to have it confirmed.
So you could have been misdiagnosed, really.
Basically, it was.
Yeah.
And we went to someone privately.
Ain't hernias higher? Ain't
hernias higher? Yeah. It's something I don't know. I'm not.
Said how much do you earn a year? No.
Well, at the time, it wasn't much because I was as a chef, and I just like. Well, you know, how can you misdiagnose it? That was it.
So, what's the time frame between you, between the tube journey and you having it out? Literally weeks.
3 weeks, three, 4 weeks.
Wow, really quick. And that's because you've done it private.
Well, the operation was carried out NHS, yeah, Barnet General Hospital.
But the diagnosis was private.
Yeah, the diagnosis was done privately. We saw someone privately, and I've got it at home. My mum gave it to me. The actual consultant's notes. This was a Monday. He said, come back on the Friday for an ultrasound. You know, and I'm not exactly the thinnest of people, so it felt like I was pregnant because they're rubbing the jelly over me. And then it was the following week, my parents got a phone call to say, bring him in, you know, can come into hospital. Went to Barnet General on a Thursday morning, and as I said, operated the Friday morning. And
so once they found out, they didn't hang around?
No, there was no hanging around at all.
So that makes your speed at doing the knowledge even better, because you whistle through a knowledge with a major operation.
And this is the funniest thing about... I didn't think it was necessary to tell the authorities that I had cancer.
No.
I don't think it's got none of their business.
Yeah, right.
No. So mid-May, I went for a pre sort of med for the... radiotherapy. So they marked me out and they said, come back on Friday morning for your first bout. I think this was like a Wednesday. I was by this time I was back on the bike, because I phoned the doctor and said, can I get back on my moped and go and do back on the knowledge? Yeah, no problem. The Wednesday afternoon, I'm out pointing and I'm sort of making the journey home, and it was the first time it rained in about 3 weeks. I'm literally 400-500 yards from home. Someone pulls out from a side turning in front of me. Your natural instincts is to pull on your brake. And of course, greasy roads.
Wallop.
I'm back in Barnet General Hospital having a concussion.
Jesus, yeah.
I've then gone up to the Middlesex Hospital in Mortimer Street on the Friday morning for the first bout of radiotherapy, and I could hardly walk. They've zapped me with the radiotherapy, and I've made a very slow walk to the station, and by the time the train got back to Edgware, I'm like fast asleep, and I'm like walking around hobbling, I'm feeling groggy, I'm feeling, you know, a bit yuck. And this went on for 3 weeks, Monday to Friday.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you've been through the mill a bit on this knowledge.
Yeah, and then June 98, woke up in France.
Yeah.
I went to see the doctor and he said to me, so you're ready to go back to work? And it was literally the day before the World Cup started, and I said, well, to be honest with you, it's the World Cup, you know, it's glorious weather outside, it's about 80 degrees, you know, can you sign me off for another month? And, yeah, okay. Ended up watching the World Cup every single day.
But you had the operation, so there wasn't much downtime after the operation then. You felt okay?
The first few weeks, I'd say, well, the rest of March was a write-off. You know, my poor mother, beginning of March, I had cancer, and by the end of March, my sister gave birth to a second child. And that, in 1998, my mum and dad got married. So it was an interesting year, put it that way.
Okay.
And I think 98, I started being tested by the examiners. It would have been 98.
And you got through all right through the exams? Obviously, you've done it pretty quick.
Well, the thing is, on my first appearance, no, second appearance, I was a bit naive.
You were naive, yeah?
A little bit. Well, at the time, being on the knowledge I was, I decided to leave, wouldn't say leave it as late as possible, but I didn't really give myself enough time, and I got to the station, and there's no.
You didn't have an accident, did you?
No.
This involves you going to hospital. You can't.
No. There's no hospital. No hospital at all. There's no accidents. You know, needing the toilet or anything like that. No. The Northern Line was delayed that day, and there were no trains. And eventually, a train pulls in, and it's going to the Angel, to where the carriage office is, and I literally got to Angel Station about 9:10, and my appointment is at 9:15. So you know the walk from the station to what, to the carriage office. Yeah. I'm suited and booted. I'm overweight, put it that way.
Seriously.
And
I'm breathing in that way.
Watch it, you. Go and book in, and I'm literally plonk my bum on the seat, and the examiner comes in, and Mr. Hoskins, and he goes, "Ah, Mr. Rosen, you're puffing and panting. Why is that?" And I went, "Oh, the Northern Line, sir, the trains were late." And he said to me, "Maybe you should lose some weight."
Oh, nice.
No way. I'm like going,
"So I've had a testicle taken."
Yes, sir. Anyway, fast forward to I'm on the new point system they introduced. It literally just started. And the examiner said to me, "Oh, congratulations, you scored a B, which is 4 points. I'm now on 10 points, on 21s, I passed my driving test. It's literally is the final exam."
Yeah.
You just know it's going to happen.
You're ready to go.
I've gone to book in my next appointment, and the woman said, the lady behind the counter said to me, "All right, okay, you're almost there." Now, she said to me, "Would you like Mr. Hoskins, Mr. So-and-so, or Mr. Orms?" Now, everyone knows
we've
Mr.
heard about Orm, yeah?
Yeah, the parrot, blah, blah, blah. I never had him. I don't know. I honestly did not blag it.
So who did you say? You must have said Hoskins.
Yeah.
But they actually gave you a choice.
That's brilliant, isn't
they
it?
Actually gave me a choice, yeah. This is bizarre.
Was that a thing at the time? Or is
I've
that
never heard that
off?
Before.
No.
Heard
it. I don't know. The woman behind the counter must have been in a very good mood.
Yeah.
Must have been. Anyway, so I get Mr. Hoskins, calls me in. He's looking through my...
Come here, fatty.
Not the Chelsea fat man. None of that. No fatty, no nothing. He's started asking me questions that I had on another appearance that he scored me a D, no points. Now, because I used to be a chef, every examiner, and Jewish, every examiner I had would give me something like a kebab restaurant that no one's ever going to go to.
Yeah.
Or... What was one question I had? The Palestine Liberal Organisation to the Central London Synagogue.
Yeah.
I got all that. My dad taught me to,
it's just all part of the
parcel. All part of the parcel, yeah. And he said to me, I always remember this, he goes, "Aphrodite Taverna, Hereford Road, sir." Okay. "And I want to go to Singapore Airlines office." At the time, it was Chiswick High Road. Correct. Called it. "Let's go from Singapore Airlines head office and we'll go to the Aphrodite Taverna." Okay. "Euston to King's Cross." And there was a smile on my face and I just knew it. And he started smiling and he goes, "Oh, that's enough, sod it. Cast your mind back to so-and-so with September, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Do you remember me calling you or saying to you, maybe you should lose some weight?" And I went, "Yes, I do remember that. I was only just testing your temperament and seeing how you'd react." I know that. My dad taught me to expect it.
They might have even wrote that
now,
down, weren't they?
Yeah.
For me to give you your knowledge rec, I want you to call me the C word.
What?
It's like silence for a minute.
Oh, this is weird.
Can I ask you a question? Mr. Hoskins. No, don't call me Mr. Hoskins. Call me Ray. Or was it Roy? Something like that. Because I've now gained his respect.
Yeah.
Not Bob.
Sorry?
Bob Hoskins, was it?
No, no. Well, Mr. Hoskins to you. Yeah. Anyway.
This is mad.
Can I ask why, sir? And he goes, well, it's you're a cab driver now, so you're a vocabulary to use the C word the whole time.
Really?
And if you call me sir once more, I'm not going to sign you off.
Wow.
Okay, Roy. You're a see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, she said it.
Really?
Yeah, I had to say it. And he goes, right, go and book your suburbs.
That's strange, yeah. Isn't it?
That's brilliant, isn't it?
That is good,
yeah. So, like, you're an early six badge, are you?
Yeah, I've lost my badge.
These are the problems. These are the ones causing us all this grief.
What do you mean?
There.
Go on. Go on.
They've been given the go-ahead to talk like that. You know what I mean?
You're being told, if you don't call me that, you ain't going to be that.
They're the reason why we're in the trouble we're in now.
And I remember we were walking down to the booking office and he's like, you know, say, you know, you're going to be out on your first day and all the usual stuff. Like, yeah. On my first day, I remember my first day as a cab driver going out there, I managed to hit someone up the back.
First day.
Another cab driver.
He's back in hospital.
Sorry?
Did you go back to hospital?
No. It was literally so minute.
It's like a casualty, isn't it?
When you beat.
Yeah. No, the other cab driver was good as gold. And you said that.
Changing the story slightly from your weight, but you've done a marathon, haven't you? You've done the London Marathon, is that correct?
London Marathon 2018, and the following year did Brighton Marathon.
Did the man in the deep sea diver suit beat you down the mall?
No, but it's honest to God, in the London Marathon, I do remember passing a man dressed as a testicle.
No!
Oh, how funny.
Now, the thing is...
You sure it weren't just like a...
The thing is...
Clam or something?
It was his testicle.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I said, it was more swollen than I thought.
Yeah.
If he's actually running in it.
No, feasibly large. I mean, if you've ever read the comic book
Viz,
there's a character in there called Buster Gonad and his unfeasibly large testicles. But
do your trousers fit differently now? I mean, you ain't got the two.
Do you want to have a look?
No. If you went to Savile Row and they said what side do you hang, did they have to take the notice that arse missing?
Well, not Savile Row, but
Matalan.
No, just going back a little bit before that, the end of 2014, just before I got to really know you guys, I was involved in a hit and run accident on my bicycle in Spain.
The fourth crash.
I'm not called Titanic for a reason.
I'm beginning to be concerned that we asked him to come round.
No.
He's going to need a chaperone.
I was involved in an accident on my bicycle in Spain. I don't remember a thing about it whatsoever. You couldn't tell me how my parents back in London were called.
So you're on holiday here, and you.
I'm over in Spain. You know, I was having a look at your property. Whether it's worth it or not. And this particular day, and it was Thursday the 13th of November 2014. That's the only thing I do remember.
Yeah,
I remember the date. I was involved in an accident, and then about a week later, I was brought home by a by ambulance. Touch wood, I didn't have any long-lasting damage. But I was off work for 6 months. I put on 4 stone in weight because I just couldn't do a thing. And eventually I joined a fitness boot camp.
Was you legitimately off work for 6 months, or were you asking the doctor to sign you off work for 6 months?
Was it
Wimbledon?
No.
Your doctor's on your friends.
There was no Wimbledon, there was no Ashes, there was no World Cup, even my beloved Queen's Park Rangers, and there was no cup finals or anything like that. Actually, no, nothing.
Have you got any stories where you don't end in hospital?
I'll tell you what's interesting. Have you ever had a clump with another cab driver?
Yeah.
I mean, I was coming down Conduit Street one day. I'd just got my TX2. I was new at it. And I was hit up the arse. And I looked around and it was this old boy in a fairway. Now, they got their rubber bumpers, haven't they? No damage at all. I looked at my cab. He said, pull over, mate. Pull over. He had a look. And there was no damage to mine. His bumper was all crumpled in and whatever. And I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. Carried on. And I was driving along. Didn't get a job. I went up to Islington. I was going up Goswell Road, top of Goswell Road,
And I thought, oh, I've got into the right hand lane. It was all queuing back. So I thought, I'm going to reverse back and get out lane and go over to King's Cross. And I reversed back and I went smack. I thought, oh, I've just reversed into somebody. And I looked behind, it was the same old cab driver.
No way.
No way.
So you up the arse and then you reversed.
Yeah, I reversed
him.
Back into him. And in all that distance. And I went, oh, sorry, mate. And he went to me, don't worry about it, son. It's all right.
He was going to say, and he got out this time and he was holding his neck.
No.
That's a great story.
The same cab driver.
That is brilliant. That is good.
Right, chill. So, yeah. You've passed that. You've got in the cab. You're now a cab driver. Now, you're an airport driver. Right, now the thing with
goes quiet here.
Yeah, so you've always been an airport driver. Ooh. Is that cool?
Well, the first few years I'd say no.
You did do a bit in town.
Yeah, I did. Right. My dad introduced me to the airport.
Right, so I would say for me, being an airport driver is a bit like being a goalkeeper. We've all had a go and then thought, nah, this ain't really us. We want to be where the action is. We want to be out on field and we'll leave the less talented ones to go and goal.
But you usually get taken into the airport,
yeah,
don't you?
My dad took me in and introduced me to a few of the faces, I suppose.
And have they all got nicknames? Are they like, you know,
are you Titanic, really?
No, I'm not called Titanic.
Is it Whiplash Dave and Somali George? And
No. You've got ones like, well, okay, let's get mine out of the way.
Go on in.
Monster Bonts.
No,
Nugget Head
that.
Or Swede. Because I do have quite a large.
Got a big head.
Yeah, I've got a big head. Yeah.
I thought you'd be good on It's a Knockout, you know, when they used to put the feet.
Yeah, the giants, yeah.
And try and put the two big barrels of water into the.
Yeah, right, mate.
Don't let Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall.
So, what's your nickname, sir?
Well, we've got a choice of three. Yeah. Monster Bonts, Nugget Head, or Swede.
Oh, they're good ones.
Oh, they're nice, Dan.
There's a Jewish cab driver who likes his heavy metal. His name is Guns N' Noses.
That's good.
There's a cab driver from Spain. He's known as Mickey Onions. I'm also called The Lunch.
Why?
Because obviously I'm a little bit portly.
Right, got you.
But yeah, everyone's got nicknames. Everyone has
them. I used to work with someone who had a big nose, so his nickname was Toucan. And then he got his son a job. And his son had a little nose, so we called him Wonka. But you can use that then,
yeah.
So when you first go, right, so I have been to the port and
I've held your hand, wiped your bottom.
It was a very strange experience. You go in and I can only imagine, for me it's like, it must be like what it's going to Nick the first time when you go into that canteen. It's very clicky in there, isn't it? You've got your little groups, you've got a bunch playing cards, you've got all the Somalian fellas there, you've got this mob here, that
they keep themselves
there
to themselves, and then literally I'd say half the I have my views on that.
We pander to the left here, so let's not hear them all.
Okay,
right.
All right. Half the tables are taken, well, especially in the mornings, half the tables are taken up with people playing cards.
Yeah.
Mainly Kaluki, I'd say.
How much have you won?
I'll hand on my heart again. I've never got involved. I can play Kaluki. But I'll just be eating.
But you're an outsider then, isn't it?
I'll be eating alive. I'd say I'd go in there, get my, you know, cup of coffee and just get the hell out of there.
You'd have your right bollock in there, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You'd be gone.
I'd be gone. I really would be. So I don't get involved in that.
But are there people there that have got gambling habits there, really?
At one stage I used to have sort of fruit machines in there, not like the ones you get in the old places like the Oak where you've got a £200 jackpot or whatever. These were like 10p a go, but whenever someone got the jackpot, £100, is like you started paying out coins, like the whole canteen would just go Ray! Like that. And it's sort of a bit embarrassing. You'll just take the money over to the cashier and just get the notes. And
is it good camaraderie there? Is it
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, especially there's one cab driver, his nickname is what Mr. Hoskins told me to say when I got my name is Ray the
C-nut.
Basically, because literally every second word is
he gets
wound up easily, and you go in on it, especially on a Sunday afternoon. And it was the cab driver.
Bet he's great for that tourist first time in England.
Yeah,
first person they meet, I bet he's perfect.
Yeah, first thing on a Monday morning, he's got that New York businessman in his cab. He wants to go into, you know, the Waldorf Hotel.
Now, this is very important. So, obviously, you know, people, they come on holiday to this country, not at the minute, but obviously pre-pandemic, and the cab driver is sometimes the first person they meet from London.
Yeah.
And then they meet this fellow who's got most of his teeth missing, you know, struggles with the language.
Oh.
I'm only joking. But in all...
They've got a big head. Yeah.
You wasn't talking about that. Swede, was you?
No.
All jokes aside, you're the first people they meet.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, you know, I've been on flights, come back into London, into Heathrow, and they give you the spiel on London, and it, you know, black cabs and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we are literally the first people.
So it's very important to present yourself very well, you know.
Absolutely.
Representing the whole trade.
Yeah. Absolutely. Most people, adhere to that, but and there's a few they think, gee,
do bad eggs.
Goes without saying, every job, every walk of life has bad eggs.
Yeah.
You know, we won't be the first, we won't be the last. But I remember one time I was on Terminal 2, and it was when the World Travel Show was just about to start at XL, and out these people came out. And there was a battered old fairway in front of me. It was like,
that's the one Sean hit.
Possibly. And they looked at him, and they looked at the cab, and I'm behind him. And they go, no, we don't want to go in this cab. We're getting his cab.
They don't want to get in the fairway,
right? No. Where are we going to? Nice job, XL. One of the hotels there. Yeah, okay. I saw the cab driver, you know, the following morning. And he said to me, oh, those people. I said to him, state your cab.
Yeah. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to. And that sort of touches on my point, you know. I think if you're going to work at the airport, you have got to remember that, you know, that you are representing the whole trade.
Yeah.
The first taste of London, really.
Absolutely.
Getting off of an airplane.
Yeah.
Do you sleep up at the airport?
Yes.
As well?
Be careful how you answer here, because this could, you know, go a long way to whether you're a dirty dog or not.
Yeah. I tell you what, we'll leave it to the dirty dog bit. but it did involve one evening, sort of.
You do sleep there, don't you?
I used to.
You used to, yeah.
Didn't need to.
Listen, freaked me out the first time I saw sleepers. I didn't know what was going on.
I
went there, I think a Saturday night, someone said, look, get up the airport because I got me tag. You know, you're on and off 45 minutes. I was like, lovely, I got there. All of a sudden, there's all these vetoes with newspapers up the windows. I'm like, what's going on here? I didn't know what was happening.
Do you have a hammock?
No.
How does that work? What's the life?
Well, the thing is, I'd say most of the sleepers there don't live in London.
Yeah.
That's why there's a cab driver's nickname is Brazilian Dave.
Why? Because he's from Wales.
Florida John. Yeah. Spanish Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey Onions, sorry. Yeah. Some of them live abroad. Coming from Thailand.
How long will they do at the airport?
Yeah.
Coming from driving a tuk-tuk.
I heard that's a bastard of a commute, that Thailand.
Yeah. bit of a bummer to try and get there for 5 in the morning.
They want to sleep when they get there.
Yeah.
How long can someone do there, do you reckon?
Some do a couple of months, but then on the flip side to that, they'll stay there from December through, you know, Christmas through to Easter. They'll stay at home Christmas to Easter. Why would you want to be cooped up in
I did meet a cab driver once, who'd done 6 months here, 6 months in Thailand.
Yeah.
And he would keep at the pool.
As a matter of fact, I sort of tried to do it for a year in 2010.
A year?
I sort of rented my house out and I lived in Spain.
Right.
On and off for a year. It didn't work out. I did it all wrong.
You done a year at the airport?
I was sort of renting a room in someone's flat in Kingsbury, but I spent half the time at the airport. And
so he was raising dough here, yeah?
I wouldn't say that, but I didn't like it. I wouldn't recommend
so,
it.
So, and was that 6 months in you realised you didn't like it? How long?
It took me almost the best part of a year.
To realise you didn't like
it? I didn't, it wasn't for me. I wasn't making, you know, what money I was hoping to make just wasn't happening.
Yeah?
Wasn't happening. And
so what is the best day at a port? You're getting up, what's your dream scenario of being an airport driver who sleeps there? And what's the dream day?
It's the luck of the draw with the jobs.
Yeah.
What's the furthest you've gone from Heathrow?
As a matter of fact, it was... Oh, God. I've had Huddersfield last year on Easter Sunday, minding my own business. There's no one around. out they come. And British Airways had mucked up, and basically they had to provide a taxi to get them to go to Huddersfield, and I was on point on Terminal 5.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm almost wetting myself.
They ain't paying as well, so that's even
they didn't care how much it cost.
Yeah,
you know.
So you went round M25 twice.
I don't know.
Can I ask a quick question? Is Terminal 9 a real thing?
I've never heard of Terminal 9.
Don't give me all that. You've heard of Terminal 9. I've heard of Terminal 9, you've heard of Terminal 9.
Where's Terminal 9?
When they're at Terminal 4 and then they want to go into London and they go round past Terminal 5 to pick up the M25.
Ah, I get you now.
A real thing?
Some might do it. I wouldn't.
What advice would you give to a young cab driver who's just got out who wants to go and work at the airport? What advice would you give him?
Well, from a selfish point of view, I'd say you got to learn your trade in town first. Yes. Simple as that. I suppose the first couple of months I must have gone out to the airport once or twice.
Yeah.
Once or twice a week.
But you're happy doing it now, aren't you?
Have you ever worked at Sean at the airport as an airport driver?
I haven't been to the airport for about 18 years.
You're not missing much.
But the thing is,
You're not missing much.
I mean, the thing is, if you work nights, then and if you start working the days, it's a different job, isn't it? And vice versa. If you work the port for years, can you really work in town?
Do you lose it?
I'd say I can do it because, you know, at the beginning I said about my photographic memory, and it is still there. I mean, my job now, you know, going around London, and I still, you know,
it all comes back.
Yeah, it does come back. It does come back. I'd say. There was another job. I'm trying to remember, but I can't now.
We'll come to that. Okay. The time is rushing away.
It is.
Yeah, I'm shocked. So, we're going to play a little game called Classy Cabbie or Dirty Dog. Are you a classy cabbie or a dirty dog?
Well, hang on a second. He slept in the cab at the port for a year.
Yeah, he's down 5 points already.
You're minus five. You've got to work really hard to just be a dirty dog.
So what's going to happen is we're all going to ask you a series of cabbie related questions, and we'd like you to answer them openly and honestly. It's all only a bit of fun. Right, I'll start. Okay, do you have all your own teeth?
Yes.
Do you have a stump of an 11th finger growing? No.
Looks like no.
No, by any joke. Right, let's ask some serious ones. Okay. Right, you're sleeping at the pool. Have you ever worn the same clothes 2 days running? Yes.
Yes or no?
What's the longest you've gone wearing the same clobber?
Oh, well, I suppose.
And a cabbie you've known down there? What's the longest?
There's a cab driver out there. I'm not going to mention his name.
I'll mention his name.
Won't mention his name. But he's
from Florida Onions.
Yeah, yeah.
No. He is actually. Wears decent, nice clothes most days. No, there's a cab driver who originates from Manchester.
Right.
And people at the airport will know what his name is.
Right, got you.
And he drives a Vito.
You don't
want
to name him. Don't name him.
No, I'm not going to name him. And his clothes never change. He's always the same clothes. Right. I mean, going back to nicknames, there was a cab, just get this in, I remember.
Come on, mate.
There's a cab driver, he's sadly died now, called George the Hat.
Yeah,
because he never took off his beanie, woolly hat. Mm-hmm. Literally, I never saw him without it on. Bank holiday August, we're on the terminal. I'm behind him, and he said to me, "Oh, I don't want this job. Do you want it?" And I'm thinking, "Oh yeah, what's this piece of rubbish that he's giving back to me?" He wanted to go to Harlow.
Yeah,
I told him.
I
told him how much it was. Yeah, okay. Off we went. Literally 45 minutes to an hour there. An hour back, I saw him back then. I said, "Why do you want to do it?" He goes, "Oh, I don't want to be bothered with all those long distance jobs. I just want to go to Earl's Court and back."
That's mad, isn't it? You'd think that's the Holy Grail.
I'm like looking at him and I'm thinking, you know, why?
Well, here's a question: have you ever had a sleepover in someone else's Vito?
No.
Don't invite him in for a Horlicks before the first.
No, not even Doug Sherry's finest hot cocoa. No. Right.
Okay, you're at the front. Someone comes out Gloucester Road. Oh, nightmare. Do you load the luggage? Do you think they load?
Yeah, I do it. I'm not sure whether this is the dirty dog moment or not. I should tell you about. Anyway, yeah, we'll do it. Do you want me to do it or not?
What is it?
My job.
I've got another question. Before we get to that, I've got an important one that I want to get out because I don't want to run out of time. Have you ever took a fare to A&E after you've slammed the brakes on and they've hit their heads and then waited outside with the meter running?
Yes.
Yeah.
We'd like to end the interview at... interview ended.
Before we go, we ain't got a lot... Can we please hear this story, Joe? Because this is brilliant.
Right. I mean, it's easily done.
Easily done, mate. And do you know what? The reason I love this story so much is because it's so divisive. Is that the, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah.
So I've told people about this. You've told me. I've told people about it. And some people go, I can't believe he's done that. And then another half go, well, I'm making right. So if you were, what happened in this situation?
So it's a Friday afternoon, early evening, about 6 o'clock or thereabouts. And I get sent to the terminal. Terminal, I think it was 4. In they get. And they said to me, the Sheraton Park Lane.
Yeah.
Driving along, going past the Natural History Museum, and a set of traffic lights, and a car in front of me puts on his brakes suddenly.
Yep.
My natural instinct is to brake suddenly as well. Two ladies in the back go flying forward. Right. Obviously, there's now a commotion. And
right, they've hit their heads.
Yeah, hit their heads.
Yep.
On the...
You know that by the screen.
Did they damage the cab?
I never looked. I think their luggage might have been hiding it as well.
So you've actually, they're bleeding, yeah? They're in bits.
No, there's no bleeding or anything. No, she's just in a lot of pain. So the first thing she said to me is, take me to Cromwell Hospital. I'm thinking, well, there's no accident emergency there. I said, I can't take you there.
Side of the park.
Yeah. Take us to the Cromwell Hospital, please. Okay. So I've taken them there, I've gone inside and explained what's happened, and they didn't want to know that they should be going to the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital. So out they've come, and one thing led to another, and in the end it took them to the Chelsea Westminster Hospital with someone from the hospital, who apparently knows them. And I'm sitting there, and eventually the lady who came from the hospital, the Cromwell Hospital, comes out and said to me, we're going to be a bit longer. Okay. And about half an hour later, she's come out again and said, can you take me to the hotel so they can get rid of the luggage?
Who are you taking? The person they
from the hospital. I'm taking her now to the hotel.
The person who had the accident?
No, their luggage. I don't know, you know, how she put it.
Right, so this is the way, when you told me the story as it happened, this is how I took it. You've took them to the hospital and you waited outside the A&E.
Well, it was about 3 hours in total in the end.
With the meter running.
The meter's now, yeah.
And they've come out, right, and then you've took them to the hotel. Yeah. And then how much was the total job?
It was 3 figures.
did you give them a pence off?
or did you still charge them the extras? What's on this on the meter,
Yeah.
Oh, God, I just don't know.
Did you charge them the £2 booking fee as well? Did you?
£2, but there's no £2 booking fee. There's a Heathrow charge.
You put that on.
Yeah, it was about £180 in the end.
Charming, yeah. I think you've had a good.
And
so, do you now do this trick regularly?
No, I don't do it on purpose. If that's what you're asking. No.
I bet you wish they needed an operation. Would have been there for 8 days.
Yeah. Couldn't possibly comment. The third lady paid up.
Oh,
I got there and paid up. I mean, my
was there any point when you were sitting outside with Aaron Artaz, you're thinking,
I do remember sitting there and like messaging, you know, messaging you on the, you know, WhatsApp group, and I got some stick from you guys.
I think, personally, deservedly so.
Yeah.
At some point you might have thought, do you know what, why don't I just take their luggage for them and but this is why it's been so decisive, because I've told people this and they said, no, make the fella right. Why? It's not his fault, is it?
No.
But
it's not my fault. I'm sorry, but
in this scenario, you're a dirty dog, mate. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, any other way, you're a dirty dog. For that alone, but you're a very nice man.
And I don't know how I would have played that. I doubt I would have waited outside. I doubt very, very much. I don't know how. I would have probably looked to have moved that luggage on and continued on with my life.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to...
I'm not that persuasion.
You've got to weigh things up.
Sorry. You might seem hard and callous, but...
They're only in the hospital because of the accident in the taxi that he's driving. So you've got to.
Did they have their seatbelts on?
No, they didn't.
Oh, well,
that's
a big factor. I don't think that's a deciding factor, the fact that they didn't have their seatbelts on. It's about being compassionate and a bit of humanity.
They can understand English.
I understand that.
I think it goes back to what Tony said about opportunist theft.
Yeah, I mean, you took your opportunity. You could have.
Did you go through their cases in the 3 hours?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't even get my Friday night dinner at home.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, listen, it's been lovely to have you, Joe. Obviously, it's all a laugh. You are a dirty dog. You've been our first one.
Yeah.
Well done, mate. Listen, as soon as we know you sleep in a veto, then you're a dirty dog to us. But listen,
I can get the evidence. It's that my two pillows and duvet are still in the back of the taxi. Yeah, I haven't touched them for almost a year.
No, I can look at you and tell you you're
and he's had the same pants on for the last year.
I thought you was going to say, I can sit here and look at you and know you're a dirty dog. Yeah. I thought that's what you was
going to
say.
Yeah. Okay, why did we just waste an hour? You're just going to say that at the beginning.
Yeah, I know. Well, I said we'd get you one and we got you one. But no, I know Jerry beforehand and he's a very nice man.
He's a great sport as well.
And he's done, at the kindness of his heart, he's come over and done.
And also, we know he's a dirty dog, he can't get out of that, but he does massive collections down at the pool.
Yeah, so can we touch on that quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. On the Friday at Heathrow Airport, the taxi feeder park, charity collections are allowed. You can't do the same one twice in a year, so you put a sort of application in to do a charity collection on behalf of, say, you know, Macmillan Cancers, which is what I did, because obviously I suffered from cancer. And I got accepted to do it, and they gave me a date, and luckily for me, it was sort of the beginning of June. The idea is that you get to the port and maximise your time there. So I got there at like 3 a.m. I set up my shop, you know, with all the bunting and flags, and just stood there while cabs were coming through the entrance barrier. And I left there. I stood on my feet till about 7 p.m. on that Friday night. It was a really, really warm day. I'm sunburnt, and I collected the best part of £2,000.
Wow, fantastic!
Also, going with Heathrow.
Do you keep any of that?
No.
Do you keep the extras for that?
No, that's
I don't know. I did it.
We'll leave it there anyway.
But one other thing, you know, what people don't know about Heathrow, feeder park and taxi drivers is when I had a bad accident in 2014, I was off work for 6 months, and two of my best friends out at the airport stood on the gate to the feeder park. From 3 a.m, it was middle of January, it's pouring with rain, it's freezing cold, and they stood there till about 7 p.m, and they collected just short of £2,000 for me.
Wow, that's
a full-time job collecting for the accidents you have, isn't it? We could actually get a foyer.
Thanks. Yeah.
No, that's it, honestly.
Most people sort of chastise the cab driver at the airport because it's just they work Heathrow, but. You know, on the flip side to that, you know, it is a community out there.
It is,
a social club, and you know, it's good fun, it's a good laugh.
Brilliant.
Great to meet you.
That's it, folks. You've been listening to Cab Class with the one and only Jerry, also known as Swede or Nugget, and he has proven to be our one and only dirty dog. Well, just about anyway. If you think you can pass the test and maybe you've got a story to tell, then get in touch with us. You can contact us on newcabclass@gmail.com. All that's left for us to say is have a good time till next season, because this is the last one for now. But don't worry, we'll be back bigger, stronger and uglier than ever before. Take care, God bless, and we'll see you out there on the mean streets.